Going home to Kucha, a dream conversation between two souls. January 2nd to January 13th, 2008. If I dream of you on a cold winter's day, with the ground snow free, but the earth hard, resisting the shovel, I shall do so while your voice, your distant voice, is still warm in my memory. Why should I think of winter's business, of sorrows and cold hearts, of dark and slippery streets, barely perceived at some late hour, coming home from yet another meeting, the pointless gathering time of leaders, who survey and address one another in the presence of their workers? For 2 hours, even for three, I sat in a chair that betrayed me, squeaking each time I shifted, whenever I moved my pinched legs. The room is lit, but dimly, dim enough to fall asleep under, but bright enough to be seen by. In a corner, on a stove, the bright red teapot stirs as the leader's water awakens from its sleep, sending out tantalizing scents of Yunnan, or is it Guizhou, all over the room. The tea scent awakens in us a sorrow, a corporately lonely desire for dreams missed, as of a child left at home, looking out through the windows, edged in slowly melting icicles, at his friends, who are walking away over the brittle popping snowfall to another child's birthday party. Every 15 minutes, the leader drinks, holding the tea scent throughout his mouth, ravishing essence of Yunnan before our very eyes, before the tired eyes of 37 teachers. Then come away. I do. At late hours, when the night fog mixed with cinders and desert dust falls down softly with a repulsive beauty all of its own over the streets, into my breath, around my teeth, then I am free. We all are free. There are 47 lamp posts, some glowing and some extinguished, between my school and my home. I am released, as there was nothing more, not one thing more, for them to say to us. Let me tell you, to walk home then, hidden in the fog, is to travel alone, one's footsteps muffled, along a footpath that crosses the very breadth, the far-stretching expanse of a dead galaxy. I pass each lamppost, drenched in sooty fog, as a lonely fen dweller that stops and stares out of her soul across the bogland at distant village lights. For every teacup my leader drinks, I pass 5 lampposts. In a silent evening, on a lonely way, I see the rising and fall of stars, of whole worlds, of dreams too. Sometimes I feel I am walking on a rope bridge, strung out across the heavens, passing through the clouds, alone, 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 quite alone. Come away, I say. Come away? Where to? How? The fog of reality is light as air, but heavy as concrete, and it covers all without exception. Only the dreamers fly into the upper light, the outer peace, the room's inner sanctuary. Why, here, we have no field-searching call, no reminders of living by the turtle doves that call to each other when they feel like it. By day, we, the restless crowds, are beaten, barraged by the electric false voices and by the words of our commanders. I long for my deliverance, my walk home, from one muffled lamplight to another, with the gritty soot swirling and dully sparkling, surrounding me as if I were a whale, deep within immense clouds of crackling plankton. Go to your grandmother's village. Far it is, and the road long, I know, but there you will find another joy, another release, a different sense of time and space. Leave your sorrowful abode, your fen, imposed on you by the selfish and indifferent. For 2 days you must sit alone in spirit, surrounded by 3,000 others, all staring ahead through fumes of tobacco, their feet scratching over the broken shells, the shells of sunflower seeds, trying to ignore, each in his own way, the pain of existence, the sun by day, the complete blackness of night's long tunnel, and the probing stares of others. At the least suspicion of a crack, or the possibility of weakness, or even of humility in you, then they will tear you open, look at you, and, their curiosity sated, will cast you onto the carriage floor, onto the ground, with the sunflower hulls. Therefore, hold your sentiments like pearls to yourself, and share them with no one. Where do I go? Who will meet me? And what will I find there? I knew my grandmother when I was a little girl, but that was so long ago. There were 8 of us, cousins and others, brothers and sisters, on a huge triple bed. We roamed over the quilts like curious mice, with dried fruit in our hands, and the elixir of sweet warm milk in our mouth. That room was our world, and we 8, the world's entire population, dwelt there. As we came of age, we scattered. Most I have not seen in over 20 years. What do you see now, as you leave the others, as they disperse into eddies of humanity, then into solitary homecomers, or else walking hand in hand, talking together with kin, dearest in heart? I am in Kucha. The station platform is empty, and nothing moves, not even a fly. The last remaining donkey cart driver, he sits patiently behind his donkey, for he knows where I must go, and who I will see. The road up, out of the town, up the long valley, and up into the mountains, is slow and peaceful. There are over 5,000 poplar trees, all of them incandescent in bright green. And as I pass each one, my heart rises, takes to the long ascent out of the valley of concrete. Passing small groves of apricot trees, I see the smiling harvesters who pick a few and place them into their children's hands, saying, "Go, run, give these to her, the one on the donkey cart, with the long graceful fingers and sorrowful eyes, for she is one of us. Come home." Oh, Kucha the beautiful, Kucha my home. My eyes laugh for joy now, because I am with you. The long dry land is caressed by rivulets, small streams feeding the fields, while all around the windbreaks of poplar trees, standing in state around field after field, ask no questions and are silent in acceptance. O Kucha, your earth is as my mother, sustaining me with grain, fruit, and beans, and like my mother, receiving me to herself, asking no questions, but remaining simple and honest. I ask for no breeze, gift of mid-afternoon, to fling out my hair and charm my face. As I ascend the valley, watching the trees, seeing the orchards grow smaller and smaller, feeling the valley walls coming in closer, I realize that I never forgot this abode, never really left this place. It is as if there were sweet, warm milk in my mouth again. Look, up, out of the earth, in long lines, stand tall, sharp-edged plates of stone, like the protruding, pointed vertebrae, the back armor of colossal dinosaurs. They follow the small road for 20 minutes, that is, by donkey cart. Everything is humbled by their grand antiquity. In my heart, I have been purged of despair, and my mind, as my garments, has been changed into the clothing of the countryside. Why have I come here? To be with your grandmother. She has waited long to see you again. I stand before the gates of my grandmother's home, looking down the long double avenue of poplar trees, and between them, growing smaller and smaller, the donkey and cart. Silent he met me, and silent he left, my last contact with the outside world. All is still, and after a quick backward glance at the still unopened gate, I wander down the line of poplars, my headscarf of atlas cloth, the only color, the only outside shade in oceans of earthy colors. The poplars appear as candle wicks, the wax all gone, yet consumed by silent flames of green. I take off my shoes and socks and gently step, reverently walk in the loose dust of late summer. I am afraid to gaze up at and into the brilliant sky, afraid lest it should be a dream. It is not a dream, and I walk slowly, threading my way around and between trees, remembering them as before, still large, touching their bark lightly, and watching the insects crawling up and down. Under the hushed and watchful poplars, I dance carefully, in step with the memories, the faint but visible forms of my youth, the fancies of my former imagination, come here, now, to join me briefly on a late summer's afternoon. We dance. Our hands are filled with dried fruit, and our voices overflow with untarnished happiness. How long did you dance? As the sun set, I looked up at the trees, silent, understanding, it seemed, and uncritical. They gave me a certain dignity and let me keep it, as I walked slowly back to the waiting door, with the memories of youth taking leave, one by one, and returning to their sleeping places. Inside, in the kitchen, I found my grandmother, carefully peeling a few soup onions. She looked up, smiling, but said nothing, for she knew where I had been, from the dust on my feet and the rest in my face. Oh, Kucha the beautiful, Kucha my home. As the evening shadows hide the landscape, a land of melon and cotton fields, walled in by lines of poplar trees, under heaven's most charming face. My heart aches with joy, for I am with her, my mother's mother, a root in my soul. The once barren landscape overflows with stories, laughter, recipes, and chatter, a flood of words feeding the soul. Around us, the walls and roof hooks are hung, are loaded with braided garlic and onions, with hard, round gourds in nets and drying leeks, waiting to be used in some soup or stew, time and again throughout the long winter, to feed us and remind us once again of the kindness of summer. They ask no questions and are silent in acceptance. Do not look down on me because I live here, because a hidden valley, remote and elusive, is my home and the home of my family. Through me, your words reach out everywhere, touching many people's hearts, and with me, you may see the high and distant places hidden to all others. My eyes are no longer sorrowful, but never forget, my feet grew up in the dust, the clean dust of Kuche, and I danced with my friends, with dried fruit in our hands, and the elixir of sweet warm milk in our mouth. If a man would give anything else for my love, he would be utterly condemned.